Parshas Kedoshim is full of all sorts of different mitzvos. As you read through, it kind of just moves from one to the next over and over and over and over. There are a lot of things to discuss in Kedoshim, so I would like to start the last pasuk. We're going to move all the way to the end. So,
and from there you go. And from there you are going backwards?
Yeah, exactly. We'll work our way through the whole thing, just in reverse order. But if we start at the end, at the very end of the parsha, after kind of opening the parsha with this idea of, again, kedoshim to you, you should be holy, then it lists all sorts of different mitzvos. And then at the end, there's like a wrap-up of the parsha. There's a little bit of a summary. I mean, I don't know about a summary. Not that it summarizes all the mitzvos, but it kind of pulls together the ideas at the end by saying, and then when you come to the land, and you should remember your uniqueness. And in source one, it elaborates on this point. V'hivdaltem bein ha-behima ha-tahura la-tameya. Right? So you should differentiate between the kosher animal and the non-kosher. Uvein ha-uf ha-tame la-tahur. And the kosher bird and the non-kosher, velot sishaktsu es nafsho sechem babehima uva uf. And you shouldn't, make yourself, I mean, whatever, we'll just translate it as, you should not make yourself disgusting through these animals, asher tirmos ha'adama, that creep along the ground, asher hivdati lachem letame, right, that I've separated for you. So the Torah in these psukim is talking about the different ways that Havdalah, right? That differentiation comes up in, through what we eat, through the ways that we're separate. It says, don't go bechukos, don't follow the practices of the people whose land you're entering, right? All these different things about remaining separate, about havdalah.
The tishaks with nafshotechem, is it on the behemoths and not on the creepy things, or on the creepy things and not the behemoths, or on both?
Well, it sounds like velo tishaktsu through the behema, through the oaf, and through kol asher tirmos. So it's right. It is a funny pasuk because it says like differentiate between the behema and the oaf, and lo tishaktsu through the behema and the oaf, and then it adds another category which it didn't mention earlier. So the pasuk is kind of funny in that way, but the velo tishaktsu is bebehema. Babehima, ba'uf, and ubechol asher tirmos ha'adama. It's all part of that same phrase. So all of those are, right, asher hivdalti lachem, right? So again, vihivdaltem, hivdalti, right? Again, we're picking up on maybe a theme here, if you're seeing it that many times. Vihisem li kedoshim, and you should be holy, ki kadosh ani Hashem, for I, God, am holy. Va'avdil eschem min ha'amim lihiosli, and I have separated you from among the nations. So I would have stopped there, right? If I were writing this, right? So then I would have said, that's the note to go out on, right? You've taken all these different mitzvos. You've said that there's this element of havdalah, of kedusha, right? Through the kedusha, you are separated, and you should be separated because ki kadosh ani, right? There's a nice parallel between the beginning of the parsha, right? That you're kedoshim ki kadoshani, right? And then at the very end, you have this ki kadoshani Hashem vavdil aschem min ha'amim liyosli. Except then there's one more pasuk. So the parsha has one more pasuk, and that is ve'ish o isha ki hiyev vahem ov o yidoni mos yumasu. Oh, by the way, just don't forget that if a person is an ov or yidoni, which are two kinds of which, necromancer is always a good word.
What's the word?
a necromancer. It's it basically is a word that's only used if you're playing like video games, or in these psukim. So v'ish o isha ki yavahem ovo yidoni. So it's these kinds of magical practices that people would have. So then mos yumasu. So if you do those, so then that person will die. Be'evin yir gemoso demehem bam. And he should be stoned right? They should be stoned. The punishment is death to do either of these things. And then the parsha ends. So we have all of these. We have a number of psukim. I couldn't quote all of them, but right, we just this whole paragraph at the end. It's like shvi is like five psukim, but it's building up this idea of like pulling together all these ideas of kedusha, of havdalah, of the fact that we're supposed to follow these laws in order to attain holiness. P.S. Also, oven idoni is really bad. And then the parsha ends. So it is a strange pasuk to tack, to kind of just like add on here at the end. I'm just going to tack it on at the end and kind of just one little side note. So there's like a halachic detail to it, which is that earlier in the parsha, the Torah had mentioned that you are not allowed to be an oven idoni and you're not allowed to go to an oven idoni. So it has already been mentioned in the Parsha. So it's not like completely out of nowhere in that sense, but
this pasuk should have been there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? Like, so so we have this idea that that the Gemara will, points out that like one time you have the azhara, one time you have the actual warning, and then you also have to have the punishment mentioned. So this is the punishment that's mentioned for that Avera. But why put it all the way here, right? You could have had a pasuk about the Isser and then another pasuk following that about the punishment. You could have, out of all the mitzvos that you could throw in at the end, why this specific mitzvah? Why put it here? Why add it on here? Why, why isn't it even included in some of those other things, right? Don't follow in the practices of all those other nations and get kicked out of the land, right? Like that whole idea, right, is referring to all those psukim, and all of a sudden, but we have one more pasuk that's one specific mitzvah out of the whole list of mitzvos. We're going to throw it in over here. What is the idea? What's the message? What's the Torah trying to tell us by adding on one more pasuk from one specific mitzvah that came earlier, and it happens to be oven idoni? So the issur is that you're not allowed to do these. You're not allowed to be a wizard. Is another word in here?
So a positive mitzvah?
No. So there is a law earlier. There's a negative mitzvah that comes up earlier that says you are not allowed to practice this magic, and you're also not allowed to go to somebody who practices that magical thing.
Who decides if this is what they're doing?
So in order to actually be punished, so you'd go through the process like you in Beis Din that you would go through with other negative commandments. So you would have to go through there. Again, the Torah gives an Isser, right? And that's also part of like the fact that there are two things, is that like there is an Isser and you're not allowed to do it. Also, there is a punishment which goes along with it. So, right, even if you technically, get out of it from court, right, there's still an Isser that a person is doing. So I've just been using, right, we've kind of been alluding to, I've been just mentioning Oven Yidoni and mentioning them as magic, as, right, wizard, necromancer, medium is another way they translate it in here, right? So we haven't really been spelling out what that means. What type of magic is this, right? So perhaps that is important, that in order to understand why this might be added on here in the Pasuk, right, if we want to know why is it mentioned, perhaps we have to know a little bit of Oven Yidoni. So from the context and from the earlier, running out of space here, but if we elaborate a little bit on Oven Yidoni, so there are particular types of people that you would go to in order to find out hidden information, or in order to know about what is coming, to know about the future. So that's why when we say you know, divining the future, right? That's, you know, that maybe what these people are doing, that they would use bones and other props, I don't know, something like that, to tell people about what is coming up in the future. That's what an Oveni Yidoni would do. The most famous one of these, perhaps, is in the days of Shmuel. So that there is a towards the end of Shmuel, of Shaul's life, after Shmuel is gone. So in Shaul's spiral, I don't know, whatever. We could. This isn't a shir on the whole Sefer Shmuel, but in Shaul, trying to figure out what to do at the end of his life in going into some of these last battles that he went into, so he finds a Ba'alas Ov. Right? So he finds someone who practices Ov, this type of information gathering, I don't know, so she is a witch. She is known in English as she is the Witch of Endor. So because she is the Ba'alas Ov from Ein Dor, right? That's the word, how it's described. So Shaul goes to her, and she in some way brings Shmuel to the meeting. I don't want to say brings him back. I don't know exactly, right? It's a little bit of a discussion exactly what she does. But she brings Shmuel to communicate to Shaul what is about to happen, right? About his loss, his death during the battle, right? So that is where we actually see Ov in practice, is when Shaul goes to ask, and the Ba'alas Ov, this woman who is a witch of some kind, gives him information about what is about to happen. That is Ov and Yidoni. So now we know a little bit about Ov and Yidoni, but again, like why that? So we know you're not allowed to do that, but I don't know that like fully answers the question. It sounds like a bad thing, right? Okay, but out of all the other mitzvos, we have a lot of mitzvos that are bad things, right? And there are a lot of mitzvos that come up in Parshas Kedoshim, and all of a sudden you're going to focus on just, by the way, this one bad thing, instead of leaving it among the other ones, we're going to stick it on at the end. Like, what? Why would it be added here anyway, right? So even though now maybe we know a little bit about Ov and Yidoni, we know Ov and Yidoni are magical practices, and that they are things in which you try to figure out the future. You go to them for them to read the bones and tell you what's coming up. But okay, and therefore what? And therefore why stick that here? What does that have to do with this whole paragraph? So we still have a bit of a question, even if we understand a little bit more about Ov and Yidoni. So what I would like to do is I would like to look at a very important piece from the Mesilas Yesharim as kind of like the main learning. The main piece is really to understand that, and from that to apply it and see how it would play out in our parsha. So the Mesilas Yesharim, as just a reminder, if we haven't seen it recently, so the Mesilas Yesharim was written by the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. So the Mesilas Yesharim is one of the most famous, well-known svarim of what we would probably put in the category of Musar, of character improvement, something like that. So that's and in Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal goes through the brisa of Rav Pinchas ben Yair. There's a brisa which describes what is the sequence, what is the series of character traits that a person should work on, that a person should become well practiced in Zerizus and Zahirus and Kedusha and Tara, and right. So there's a whole list of things that a person should do, and if a person does all of that, so then he will reach Ruach HaKodesh, right? So like you should start at the very beginning and work your way all the way through all of these traits. And the Mesilas Yesharim is outlined based on that list to describe what is each of these, what does this trait mean? And then how would I go about, acquiring that Mida? Okay, so that's the basic outline of Mesilas Yesharim. In Perek Gimel, the Ramchal has a I don't want to say a digression, but a very famous concept that he lays out. So this is in source 2. Again, it's a little bit longer than our usual sources, but it's very important. So he says the following. He says, "Vehu Masha Amru Zichronam Livracha Tashas Choshech Vihi Laila." This is what Chazal say when they quote the pasuk in Tehillim, "Tashas Choshech Vihi Laila," that Hashem, you know, like established darkness and it was night. Okay, that's the pasuk in Tehillim. Zeh ha'olam hazeh shedome lalaila. So the Gemara says, what does it mean when God established night? That is a reference to olam hazeh, to this world, which is similar to nighttime. That's this. That's the Gemara. So the Ramchal elaborates. He says, v'havein kama nifla hamamar ha'amiti hazeh. See how amazing this truthful statement is. Lemi shema'amik lahavin bo. If you really get into the depths of it, if you really try to dive down into this one statement, Zeha Olam Haza Shedoma Lalaila, if you really try to understand the depths, then you will see how amazing it is. Kihine Choshech Halaila Shnei Mine Ta'uyos Efsharlo Sheyigrom Le'in Ha'adam. Okay? So Kihine Choshech Halaila, the darkness of night, Shnei Mine Ta'uyos Efsharlo. It could cause two different kinds of mistakes. If we were walking around at night, so we also kind of lose a sense of this, perhaps, because nowadays when I walk out at night, looks kind of like it does during the day, right? So, right, we have enough lights that like it's kind of dark, but it's also kind of not dark, right? So if we're describing nighttime when there are no electric lights, okay? So I would say like if you've ever gone camping, I've never actually gone camping, so I don't even know that I could. Pull from my own experience, but like if you're out at night, so you have the moon and you have stars. From what I hear, you have more stars if you're out there. But if you're actually out in the dark, okay. So there are two kinds of mistakes that you might make. What are they? Oh, yichasa es ha'ayin ad shelo yire ma shelafan of klal. The darkness, the dark of night, could. Literally cover your eye, right? But it will prevent you from seeing whatever is in front of you. That's one kind of, when we think of darkness, right? We think of, and I can't see. I can't see a foot in front of my face, right? Like that idea of darkness. That's often what we think of. But he adds, or there's actually another kind. Oh, sheyata oso ad sheyira amud ki'iluhu adam. There's another kind of mistake you make in the dark, which is when you see something, you mistake it for something else. So when you see, you're stumbling through the dark and you see something standing in front of you, right? You don't realize that it's just the column of a building. You think, oh, finally, someone's here to help me, right? And you start calling out to him. You can mistake a tree for a person or a column or right anything for something else. V'adam ki'iluhu amud. And a person who actually would be there to help you, you mistake that for just a tree. So there are two kinds of mistakes. First of all, you may not see anything at all, or you might see something and think it's something else. Kain chomrius v'gashmius ha'olam hazeh. And so too, he says, that is the same as this world. Hinehu choshech halayla le'ein ha'seichel. It is darkness for the seichel, for the mind. Vigorim lo shtei te'uyos. So it causes our brains, our minds, to make two kinds of mistakes. Ha'achas, inu maniach lo shiyira hamichsholos, shebedarche ha'olam. The first one is that we don't see all of these obstacles, all of these traps that are out there in the world. Right? We don't see that there are bad things in front of us. V'nimtza'im ha'pesa'im holchim lavetach. So fools walk very confidently, right? You're just walking along. V'noflim, and you fall right in the hole. V'ovdim ibli shehigiyam pachat trila, and they fall right in without having experienced any fear, right? They didn't realize that anything bad was about to happen, and then you just fall right in. That's the first kind of mistake. So what would that be? That would be, right, that there are things in this world that we don't even realize are bad, right? We didn't even see it coming. We didn't even know what was about to hurt us. But we fall right in. So that is the first kind of mistake. V'hatos hashnia, which is perhaps the more dangerous of the two. I don't want to say which one is more dangerous. I guess it's pretty dangerous to not even see something coming and then to fall in. But maybe it's a little bit more. What's the word I'm looking for? I keep feel like it's like on the tip of my tongue, but it keeps slipping away. But okay, so we'll read it.
Distorts.
Right. So maybe we'll say something that's a little bit more insidious. It's kind of like something about the way that it's like sneaking in. V'hatos hashnia, and the second mistake is the following. So we have one kind of mistake in this world where like we didn't even realize it was bad, and then it trapped us. And the second mistake, v'hi kasha min harishona, and the second one is even worse than the first. He shemat e ri'yasam ad sheroim hara ki'ilu hu mamish tov. The second one is to see one thing and think it's something else. That would be like in this world where you see something bad and you think that that thing is actually good. It's not that I didn't see anything. I saw something, but I thought it was tov, right? I saw that tree and I was convinced he could help me get out of this mess, right? I'm calling out to him because he's going to save me because I think it's a person. So it's to see ra and think that it's tov. V'hatov ki'iluhu ra. And to see something which is good and to believe that that thing is actually bad. U'mitoch kach mizchazkim u'machazikim ma'aseim ha'ra'im. And from that, why is that worse, right? What is one of the things that's worse about that? Is that if you don't understand that this is actually ra, not only will you not avoid it, but you will run towards it. You will do it more because you actually think it's helping you. You actually think it's the right thing to do. Ki ein dai
today with
Hamas. Ki ein dai shechas ramehem re'iyas ha'emes. It's not enough that you don't see the truth. Liros hara'ash or neged p'neim. To just not see the bad that's right in front of your eyes. Ela shenir elahem limso rayos gidolos v'nisyonos mochichim lisvarosehem hara'os. But they're going to look for, they're going to find proof that what they're doing is actually the right thing in order to maintain and continue all of these bad things. All of these svaroseim haros, their bad thoughts, uledeoseim hakozos, and these false ideas. So, right, if we take one mashal, right, it's different. It's one thing to say that like, I don't know, let's use drugs, I don't know, right? Drugs are bad, right? I didn't even realize that they were hurting me, right? I just thought it was like a fun time. So like, I didn't even realize that it was a bad thing to do, right? And then all of a sudden, now I'm stuck. Now I'm hooked on it and I'm addicted to it and now it's making my life worse. So like, I didn't even see it coming. I didn't even see it coming and I fell right in, right? So that's one perspective, right? I thought it was just fine. I thought it was okay. I thought it was right. I didn't even know that there was going to be a problem. I thought it was the same as eating and drinking, right? It's different to say, no, I actually think it's a good thing to do. I think it's actually better for the world if we do it, because then you're only going to dig yourself in further. You're only going to look for reasons that what you're doing is actually correct, and you're even less likely to notice the bad. I did not bring this idea. I don't know if we talked about the confirmation bias, but in rereading this source, it brings to mind a little bit of what is referred to as the confirmation bias, that when we have an opinion, the way we search for information, we tend to search for information that confirms what we thought, right? So we have a bias towards seeking out information which lines up with what we already believe. And if we come across other kinds of information, we discount that information. We weight more heavily the information that actually already tells us the thing that we already thought.
That's the basis of the internet.
Okay. So, right, the way...
If you go into anything, any kind of a topic, it is going to bring up the others.
Right. And it'll bring more of the same kind of thing.
Exactly.
And then it like self-reinforces, right? So you may end up in like a system which is like self-reinforcing because of that. And even, right, even like on a day-to-day, right, there are ways to kind of like test this out, even in like very small ways. I think some of them have to do with like, you know, if you've ever played like, I don't know, it's funny, I'll bring it up, like Mastermind is kind of the game that comes up in the later study. But if you've ever played Mastermind where like you guess a sequence and then they tell you like how close you are and then you keep guessing. So if you play a game like that, again, I didn't really describe it very well. So if people don't know Mastermind, that may not have helped. But like basically, it's a game where you have two people. You guess someone, they set like a pattern of colors, right? But you can't see it. So your job is to guess a pattern, and they tell you, well, you had one color correct, you had one correct in the right spot, and they don't tell you which one is which. So you have to keep guessing more patterns to try to, right, to try to figure it out. It's kind of like Wordle, I guess, in a sense, where like if you've ever played Wordle, where like you guess a word and then they tell you which letters, but there they do tell you which ones are in the right spot. But you're whatever. So you're basically guessing a series of guesses to try to figure out the pattern. So what tends to happen is that once when you think you know what the pattern is, people keep guessing that same little bit over and over and over again, even though it would be a lot faster. If you think this is correct, you don't test the same one over and over again. You should actually test a change, a different one, to figure out, is my assumption correct, right? There are ways to test those that where people stay guessing the wrong thing over and over and over again because they I think I've already figured it out, right? Instead of guessing, instead of disconfirming, right? Instead of trying to figure out, was I wrong? Is this actually, maybe it's a different pattern and I should guess something different. They keep guessing the same one over and over again, and it like leads them, you know, through the game, even though eventually they find out, oh no, actually you were wrong. You thought the wrong thing, right? So there are like little ways of testing these things that instead of, our habit is instead of testing to see if I'm wrong, we test to see am I right, and then we find information that seems to line up with it. So it is, you know, what comes to mind in reading this idea that like when we in this world, right, we see Ra and we think it's Tov. What do? So he says, then we are mischazkim umachazikim asem harayim, right? It only makes us stronger because now we not only do I like this thing, but I think it's a good thing, right? And he says not only do they not see the bad, now they're going to work to try to prove and demonstrate that what they're doing is actually right. Right, so it's like this process where I think the wrong thing, and then I'm just going to try to find more evidence that this thing is actually right, even though it's not right. But that's what you're going to find. If that's what you're searching for, then that's what you're going to find. So those are the two te'uyos. Those are the two mistakes that are made in this world. So that's why he says when the Gemara tells us Olam Hazeh is doma lelaila. This world is similar, it's compared to the night. Says this is a very deep idea. It's not just this broad idea, this broad concept of, oh, it's night, and like night is bad. Night is when it's not clear. He's like, no. Because it has very specific ways that it affects our vision. It's very specific ways that it changes the way we go out in the world. First of all, sometimes we just don't even know something is bad. And sometimes we actually think that bad is good. We mistake one thing for another. And then he gives the following mashal, which is a famous mashal that the Ramchal gives. So he says the following, ha lema ze dome. What is this similar to? Legan hamevucha, to a confusing garden. What's a confusing garden? So if you look in the English, it'll give it away, right?
A maze.
Hu hagan hanetua litzchok. It's a garden that's planted, you know, for enjoyment. Hayadua itzel hasarim, that the rich people have. Shehanetios asuyos ksolim ksolim, that the plants are made in walls. Uveinehim shvilim rabim nevuchim u'moravim, and they have a lot of different paths that are very confusing and all mixed up. Kulam domim zelazen, they all look the same. And the point of the game is to reach the middle platform, the middle corridor. So he's describing a hedge maze, right? So that is this world. Ve'amnam hashvilim ha'ila mehem yesharim umagim bemes el ha'achzadra. So there are paths that lead to the center. Umehem mashgim es ha'adam umarchikim es umimena. But there are also paths that take us further away. Right? I can be heading straight towards the middle, but then it curves and it takes me further from my goal. Ve'amnam haholech bin hashvilim hu lo yuchal liros. But if you're in the middle of it, if you're on a path, you can't see. Ve'ladas klalim hu bashvil ha'amiti. You won't know if you're actually on the right path. Obakosev, or on a red herring. You don't know which path you're on. Ki kulam shavim ve'in hafresh beinehim la'in haro'o osam. Because you can't really tell the difference. They all start to look the same. So when you're in the middle of the maze, you don't know where you're going. Imlo sheyeda haderech bivikius utvius ayin shekvar nichnas bam. How would you know if you're going the right way? You could only really know if you're going the right way if you've done this before. If you have a sense, you recognize this path. V'higia al hatachlis shu asadra, and that you've gone through it before and reached the middle. The only real way to make it through this maze is to there's like a catch 22 of sorts, right? Which is like, in order to reach the middle, you could really only get there if you have done it before and you know which way to go. Right? Otherwise, yeah, you could do it on your own, but you have no idea which one. So you're going to follow the path and it'll take you off to the side and you'll come out on a different end and then you'll go back in and then you'll come out, you'll end up at a dead end and then you'll turn around, right? So you can work your way through path by path, but you don't know which way to go unless you've actually done it, right? After you've gone through the whole thing and you mapped it out and you figured out which one is the right way to go, so then now you can do it from beginning to end without any mistakes. But how are we going to do that in this world, right? He says, Lama davar doma, right? This is his comparison. This is like our world. This is what he's comparing Olam Hazeh to. So how can you figure it out? Vehine. Ha'omed kvar al ha'achzadra hu ro'eh kol ha'drachim lefanav. So somebody who has already reached the middle, right? If they've already reached this center, they refer to it as a tower. I was saying like a platform, right? You're reaching this, right? Like imagine this hedge maze, and then you get to the middle, and sometimes it's like a bridge or something, you know? So like you get to the middle, that person in the middle, he can see the whole maze in front of him. And he can see which paths are leading one way or the other. So somebody who's already made it to the middle, right, and he's already standing on the platform, so he can see all of the different paths, and he can see which one. So he's already gone through it, and he can see all the paths. V'hu yuchal lahazhir es haholchim bam. And that person is able to warn anyone who goes through. Lomar, zeh haderech, lechuvo. Oh, that's the right one. Go that way. No, you're going the wrong way. Turn around. Come back. Right? That person can actually see which one is which. V'hine. Mi sheyirtza lahamin lo, yagia lamakam hamiyawad. So, if you are able to trust that person who's in the middle, then you'll be able to find the goal. Umi shelo yirtza lahamin, yirtza lalecha tzacharinav. But if you don't trust that guy in the middle, if you don't trust the person who's giving directions, vaday sheishar oved v'lo yagia ilav. So then you're just going to be stumbling around on your own. You have no more direction than you had before. If you trust the person in the middle, so they'll give you direction. And if you don't, then you're on your own, and you're just going to be stumbling through the maze. So that is the mashal of the maze of the Ramchal. So he has this principle that this world can lead to a couple of different kinds of mistakes. How do we avoid them? How do we avoid this world fooling us, right? Where we don't even know something is bad, right? I'm on this path. using his mashal, right? I'm on this path, and I don't even know that if I follow it down, the second I turn, I'm about to hit a dead end, right? So I have no idea what's coming. I didn't even realize. How do I avoid that? Or another kind of mistake where the path is going straight towards the center, and I'm like, oh, I'm great. This is the best. This is it, right? I know I'm on the right thing, right? And then I'm going to avoid all these other, right? Every time I pass another, like, exit from this road, I'm like, nope, because this is the right one. I'm on my way towards the center. I'm walking, so I'm going to ignore all those other paths, right? And I'm running right through. I think that I'm on the right one. How could we possibly avoid that? So he says that is where the place of someone who has already reached the center, someone who has already accomplished, somebody who has gone further, is able to give direction. So this is a mashal that's, we might say that is the role of the Torah, right? We might say that is Hashem who is giving direction, right? And able to say, there is this maze, but here are directions for how to get through. It is also a mashal that is used for describing the role of the Chachamim in our lives, right? That there are those who have gone further ahead than us. There are those who have accomplished more than us, who are able to look back and help give guidance. So the Talmidei Chachamim who understand not only the Torah, right? So Hashem gives the Torah as guidance, and the Chachamim are able to, right, who have moved further and have learned the Torah and also understand it and the world. So they are able to help give us some ideas. What is the right path? What is not? If we have emunah, if we trust that these directions are helpful, so then that will help move us further along. And if we reject it, so then I'm no better off than I was before. I'm going to reject the idea completely, and I'm just going to, you know, stumble my way through life. That's it. I'll figure it out on my own. Whatever I think is right, and whatever I don't is what I'll ignore, right? But then you're likely to fall into these traps, right? The world is a dark place. The world is one where you don't even see these things coming. The world is one where you see something that sounds great. It sounds like the right thing, but it's completely way off base, right? It's not only neutral, it's actually a bad thing. So this world can be very dangerous, right? We might think of all the, you know, right? Just to spell it out, right? There are people who are out there in the world who are protesting for something which they think is actually good, right? They think that this is tov. This is the right way to be, right? They are in the darkness. And to say that without any guidance, we can always come to the right conclusion is very dangerous. The Ramchal spelled out one of the ways that we have. I don't know that, again, I don't know, for, you know, I don't want to say like this is the only strategy, this is the only tool that we have, but an important, very fundamental tool of looking to those who came before us, of the Chachamim who are able to guide us, is one of the ideas that he has brought out of this mashal, right? The mashal is not just about being lost, but the mashal is about how to be found again, right? How do I actually find the goal? If we look in the parsha, the Torah tells us in source 3 the following. This is earlier. We looked at the very end, and I mentioned that the Torah tells us earlier about the Ov and the Yidoni. So let's take a look at that. In source 3, it says, Al tifnu el ha'ovos ve'el ha'yidonim. You should not, literally, like, turn to Ov and Yidoni. You should not turn to these magics, right? To the mediums or wizards. Al tivakshu litam avahem. Don't search, like, don't ask of them. Don't search them out. L'tam avahem, to be defiled by them. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, for I am God. Right, so just in clarifying, right, like in a technical sense, Rashi points out, Al tifnu el ha'ovos el ha'idonim is the iser on the magicians, right, that a person should not be a diviner. So, right, I think that's how you say it, right? right? A person should not throw the bones in order to understand. And al tavakshu l'tam avam. And also you shouldn't go to them, right? So you shouldn't go to somebody who practices this. So so that's the iser. Now the Torah has just, right, this is like among a bunch of other mitzvos, right? I think it just mentioned Shabbos right before this. So not to pretend that, like, right, that there are no other mitzvos around. But let's look at the next mitzvah. What is the pasuk right after Al Tifnu El Ha'ovos? The next pasuk is Mipnei Seva Takum V'Hadarta Pnei Zaken V'Yaresa Me'elokecha Ani Hashem. That you should stand in front of an older person, V'Hadarta Pnei Zaken, and you should honor the elderly, the Zaken, V'Yaresa Me'elokecha Ani Hashem. You should fear Hashem. In Kedoshim, we always ask. We don't always have clear answers. But why are different psukim stuck next to each other, right? Why go from this immediately into that, and then from this into that, right? Seems like just like a hodgepodge of different mitzvos. So I'd like to suggest, at least in this context, in this specific case, I don't have a broad theory of Parshas Kedoshim right now. But if we look at these two psukim, Al tifnu el ha'ovos ve'el yidonim, don't go to the ovos and yidonim. That's not the way to get information. That's not the way to learn about what's coming and how you should live your life. Mivnei seva takum, v'darta pnei zaken. So where should you go?
To an old man.
Yeah, where should you go? You should go to the zaken to bolster this point, right? So the Sforno in source 4, he says mipnei seva takum, aval tehadru kedoshei elyon. Right, I think what the Sforno is doing is the same point. I was happy to find this because I think he's trying to make the same point. That he adds, what is he adding? What am I focusing on here? He's adding the aval. That's what I'd like to say. Is that Mibnei Seva Takum, is that the aval is what makes, is the transition from the previous pasuk into this pasuk, right? So, Al Tifnu El Ha'ovos Ve'el Yidonim. Don't turn to Oven Yidonim, right, to Oven Yidoni. Don't go try to get your information from them. Rather, mipnei se aval. But what should you do? Aval mipnei se vatakum. But you should go to the zaken. Right. So this Sforno is, I think, trying to point out that there is a contrast. The psukim, the Torah is putting these two psukim next to each other because it's telling you don't go to them for guidance. Instead, we do have a way to get information. We do have places to go to get advice, to get help. Not the Oven Yidoni, that's not the right way to go. Instead, aval, but you should, Bivnei Seva Takum. Umehem, Haseva Berov Kaomro, Taras Tifar Seva. So he's just quoting the Pasuk, just this idea of the Kedoshe Elyon. The Gemara says that Zaken is a notary cone. Right, it's a notricone is like a little bit of a funny word because we like to say it's like an acronym. It's not really, it's not always an acronym. It's like part acronym, part portmanteau. If you know a portmanteau, is like when you take two words and you squish them together. So it's like a notricone can be kind of in there. So the Gemara says in this case, the zakin is a notricone of ze shekana chachma. Right, so it's like what's a zakin? Somebody who has acquired all sorts of great knowledge and useful information and experience.
All zakenim aren't the same.
True.
There's
true.
Some okay. That believe so, it is. They're both. Let's say their age is about the same, and the person could be on the opposite side.
Yeah.
Of a.
So it's true. So it's true. People.
Of the same issue.
Right. So it's true that that not every zakin, right? People don't age and then like all of a sudden fall in line with the exact same beliefs. That is true, right? But this idea of Mipnei Seva Takum and Ve'adarta Pnei Zaken, that there is a particular respect for those who have gained life experience and have gained an understanding, right? This idea, you know, and it's still perhaps going to have to be filtered through your individual situation, right? Even if a Zaken does have a lot of, you know, experience, and they can tell you about theirs, and they can give you guidance, and then you have to make a decision about what to do, right? This But this is perhaps part of the interaction that the Ramchal is referring to. Right? There are people who have been through these things before. There are people who have been through the maze. Right? The Zeshekana Chachma. We have Chachamim. We have Zakenim. We have people who have been through experiences. And they can say, I think you're on the right path. And sometimes you have to put your faith in them. Right? And sometimes, maybe sometimes we don't. And then, right, we'll see how it works out. But this idea of the zakenim, v'adarta p'nei zaken, perhaps is not just a standalone mitzvah, right? That there is a mitzvah of mibnei seva takum v'adarta p'nei zaken, right? That we stand and we show respect, literally in a very literal way, to zakenim. So that is true, but I think in putting it next to oven yidoni, it is setting up a contrast, right? The Torah again. Like we always have to ask this question. The Torah could have told us about Dr. Bnei Zakein anywhere. Could have told us at the beginning of the Parsha, right? Could have told us in any context. But instead, the Torah is putting these two together to say, Al tifnu el ha'ovos vel ha'yidonim, aval, b'bnei seva takum v'dar t'pnei zakein, right? To add the aval of the Sforna, right? The point is, don't go to them. They're not the ones who are going to guide you. They're not the ones who are going to give you what you need to know. Instead, go to the Zakenim, right? There is a chachma which they have acquired, which you should use. So this idea of the zakenim, zeshekana chachma, again, we're talking about life experience. We're also talking about experience in Torah, right? Chachma, the guidance of the Torah. So again, someone who has only life experience but isn't familiar with the laws and the values of the Torah, so then it's also going to be limited in you know what I might, you know, in how I might change my life based on that, right? So it's useful, but it's going to be limited. But again, the idea of a zakein is, the Gemara is saying, is a little bit more broad even, right? There's like a very literal, specific halacha. And also, a zakein is someone who can give me chachma, right? Not just about the world, but also about Torah. And I have to recognize that. I have to vedarta p'nei zakein, right? This is in Source 5, is just a note about In groups and expertise, the first step in effectively using member expertise is recognizing member expertise, right? Is that I can't rely on an expert to help guide if I don't recognize that someone is an expert, right? So if we discount the chachamim as being chachamim, so then we have nothing. Great. By definition, such tasks cannot be meaningfully divided amongst members if we don't understand who is who, right? If we don't understand where people stand. If someone's calling me from the middle of the maze, right, and I don't believe him. I don't believe you're in the middle of the maze, right? I think you're just some guy on the other side of this wall, and you're just throwing out instructions to me, right? So if I don't recognize that there are experts, if I don't recognize that there are people who know, so then that's literally step one, right? And the second part is whether or not I actually use it, right? So although research has shown that a group's ability to recognize expertise is related to performance, meaning if we recognize that one person is an expert, the team usually does better because then we're going to put more weight on the expert's opinion, right? So recognizing expertise is usually associated with performance. But not as many studies have examined whether this is due to recognition leading to more effective utilization of expertise, right? Right. So it's not so clear exactly why. Is it because when we recognize the expert, we actually use the expert more, or we use it better? Okay. And there was a study that found a positive relationship between recognition of expertise and how often the groups relied on their best members. Right. So if I can tell that this guy knows what he's doing, so I'm going to make sure that when he tells me, "Oh no, you're doing it wrong," I'll make sure to do what he says because I know he's the expert in this case, right? So that was part of what this study was trying to look at, that what they were using in this case, again, this is like a lab study, so they're using a mastermind game. That's why I was mentioning it again. But basically, if you know, if you have a team of three or five people and you find out that before we became a team, that guy was super good at this game, right? And they would give that information to some groups. So if you know that this guy is much better than you, then maybe I'll let him pick the pattern because he knows what he's doing, right? So that's generally what they found is that point. But the context I'm bringing it was to this idea that in order to understand expertise, right, we have to break it down and say expertise the first step of expertise is you have to recognize that somebody is an expert, right? And then you also have to decide to use their expertise in your situation, right? So to the Torah telling us, who are the experts? Don't go to the Ovin the Yidoni. Aval v'adarta p'nei zakein. But you should go to the zakein. Zeshekana chachma. You should go to somebody who really knows what they're talking about. That's what you should do. So if that is what the Torah is telling us, in the middle of Parshas Kedoshim, when the Torah is telling us about the Ovin the Yidoni, there's a halachic message, don't be an Ovin Yidoni, don't go to the Ovin Yidoni, and there's a further message, which is, they're not the source of information. Instead, Hadarta Pnei Zakein, you have somebody who can actually help guide you. So if that is the case, if we go back to the end of the Parsha, Rabbeinu Bachya makes the following point about the second to last Pasuk. Bisemli Kedoshim, right? This was in source one. Bisemli Kedoshim, you should be holy. Ki Kedosh Ani Hashem, because I, Hashem, am holy. Vavdil Eschem, and I separate you. Min Ha'amim Liyosli. Who is Hashem separating us from? The Amim. So the Rabbeinu Bachya says, Masha Hiske Lashon Ha'amim. Why does it use the word Amim here? It separates us from the other nations? I mean, why? Just say it separates us from everyone. Separates us from
Goyim.
I don't know, right? Pick a different word. So why use the word Amim? Ki'ilu Amar Chashechem. Amim is equivalent. It's a synonym, he says. It's an allusion, perhaps. Maybe it's not exactly a synonym, but it's an allusion to saying the dark ones, those who are in the dark. Because Targum Keha Amaya. Because the Targum of Keha, when we describe problems of vision, we're described as Keha, which is like weakness, right? That's like Yitzchak and other situations. The Targum of Keha, of weak, of poor vision, is Amaya, right? Like the word Am, like looks like nation, right? So when the Pasuk says Ha'amim, it means the nation. And the Rabbeinu Bachya says, it literally means the nation, but there's like another layer to that word, right? The other layer is not just the nations, but the blind ones, the ones who are in the dark. Ki ha'umos kehu einehem mir'os or ha'torah. Right, their eyes are blind to the light of the Torah. Lefi she'ein lahem Torah v'holchim b'darchei choshech. They are walking in the dark. Ukinyan shekasuv haya b'machshach ma'aseim u'mezumanim heim legenim shenikra choshech. Okay, so they are walking in the dark. Couple lines. Aval Yisrael zochim heim le'or haganuz v'tzafun la'tzadikim la'asi lavo. But we merit the light. Bizchus shekiblu haTorah hanikreis or, because we have the light of the Torah, as the Torah is described as or. So we have this, the second to last pasuk. What is the second to last pasuk? It is this same motif of darkness and light, that we have the or, kiner mitzvah v'Torah or. The Torah is the light. The Torah is shining the way. And without the Torah, without that guidance, we're walking in the dark. Holam hazeh is doma l'layla. Without that understanding, the world is dark. V'yisemli kidoshim ki kadosh ani Hashem va'avdil aschem min ha'amim liyosli. Right? I am separating you because the rest is walking in darkness. And what is the opposite of that, right? So now, if that is the case, if that is the shining light on the world and how to walk through the world, is the role of the Chachamim. And that's the message of, don't go to the Ovos and the Yidonim. Instead, Vadarta Pnei Zakein, right? They're the ones who can actually bring the Chachma, who can actually bring the Torah and the light into your world. So now, perhaps it makes a little bit more sense when the Parsha ends, Ani Hashem v'avdil aschem min ha'amim, right? So now it makes sense, perhaps, that the Torah is talking about the Ovin Yidoni. The last pasuk is, right, it's teaching us in a literal sense, oh, by the way, there's a punishment for the Ovin Yidoni, right? But why did the Torah put it here? Because this is the point about the Amim who are walking in the dark, whose source of information is the Ovin Yidoni, the thing that you're supposed to avoid. That is their light. That's nothing. That's darkness. Stay away from that. So when the Torah adds the Ovin Yidoni again, maybe that is what it is taking with us, right? It's taking from the earlier comparison. The point was earlier, Ovin Yidoni, you're going to go to them for guidance. They're not going to give you anything. You're still going to be walking in the dark. This world is Lila. This world is the nighttime. You're still going to be walking in the dark if you ask them. Instead, you have Chachma, you have Torah that should be guiding you. And at the end of the Parsha, when the Torah says, and all of these different mitzvos, all of these different things are to help you and to guide you and make you Kadosh people, and that will separate you. Those things are what will separate you from the people who are walking in the dark, like the Ov and the Yidoni. That's still the night. That's still the darkness. So this mitzvah, in order to teach us this this punishment of the Ov and the Yidoni, it specifically puts it here because it's trying to draw out that same theme. That actually is the theme of what's going on in this discussion, is that we will be separated through that, and through that they will be the Amim. They're still walking in the dark. And people who are there, who are still walking around thinking that not only do they not see the bad that's coming, right? They don't even realize that that they're supporting a group that that, you know, if let loose would destroy them as well, right? Not only that, but they think they're doing the right thing. They're actually, not only do they not see the danger coming, but they actually think what they're doing is right. So the world, which is Doma Lalila, that we are bringing the light into, and we should continue to use all these mitzvos, to use the Torah, to use the Chachamim who are trying to give us guidance to walk in the light. Sure.